Hello again from Online Educa in Berlin 2010. I'm now talking to colleagues from Germany who are really specialists in e-portfolios. And I'm passing the microphone around, and it would be great if you could tell a few words about yourself.
Okay, thank you. My name is Birgitta Kinscher. I'm from Berlin University of Applied Sciences, and I'm working in the e-learning sector since about 10 years.
My name is Jörg Hafer. I'm working for the University of Potsdam, and I'm starting to work with e-portfolios also around 8 years ago.
My name is Ilona Buchem. I work at the Beuth University of Applied Sciences in Berlin. And I'm going to start working with portfolios next year. So far, I have had more conceptual work and more theoretical work on this.
Okay, we will start with something that might be interesting for most of our audience, I guess, the question about what e-portfolios are and for what you can use e-portfolios. I think Ilona is the one who is going to answer this question. Is this right?
Yes, I will try it. Okay, so the e-portfolios are not so easy to define because there are a lot of different types of e-portfolios. And maybe it's easy if you contrast this with something like a job application, yes? If you ask a question, what's the difference between a job application and an e-portfolio? You could say that the e-portfolio is developed in the learning process in smaller steps. So it's a part of your learning process, and it is also guided by a person. It's guided by a tutor or by a mentor. So there's someone who is helping you, giving you feedback on this. What your next steps are going to be, and you're documenting the steps in the learning process. While where you're preparing a job application, it's more summative process at the end. You're collecting something at the end, putting together things, pieces, bits and pieces together, while e-portfolio is more process-oriented. This is, for me, a good way maybe to differentiate between the two concepts. And also, like I said, e-portfolios you can use you can just use in different contexts and following different objectives. For instance, you could use e-portfolios simply to document your learning process, to reflect on your learning steps so that you are more aware of what you learned, of what your deficits are maybe, or how your learning goals changed, where you want to go in the next step. Also documenting things that can be formatively evaluated by the tutor, by the mentor, but also by the peers. So this could be also one application of e-portfolio. Another thing is using e-portfolio to document certain achievements that you have reached in your development process. For instance, if you had some assignments that you documented, or you had some products that you created, like maybe if you were a media designer, you created a website, this could be part of your e-portfolio, an artifact that you connect in your e-portfolio. So you documented all these achievements, and you could possibly use them when you apply for a job. So this could be another application area. And the third application area is to use e-portfolios to accredit the achievements that you had in some form of, for instance, ECT points or other points, possibly, which can be accredited, recognized, and which can allow you, for instance, to enter another educational institution at a different level. So we're talking about accreditation of prior learning. So things that you documented in your e-portfolio, if they are accredited, you could possibly have a different start, saying that, you know, you learned something before, that's why you maybe don't need to start from the level zero, but from level one or two. I would say those are the three main application areas of e-portfolio.
I'm very much interested in how e-portfolios actually look like. Is it like a map, a paper-based map, or can it be compared to a paper-based map with all my documents listed in there, or is it more like a website, or is it a very colorful piece of multimedia and multimodal objects? How does it look like?
Again, it's very individual and very different depending on what you like, what's aesthetically appealing to you, but also what's your background, maybe what's your professional background. Again, if you're a media designer, your e-portfolio would probably be very colorful and very flashy and having a lot of multimedia objects and links to different objects. While maybe if you study literature, it's maybe more text-oriented. So it's very much based on, you know, on the area that you come from and also, you know, on your individual preferences. So it can be very different. And also, the technically speaking, the e-portfolio can be a more complex combination of different tools, aggregation of different contents, or combination of tools using such e-portfolio platforms, for instance, as Mahara or Elk, but it can also be very simple. Maybe even your blog, where you document things and you include links to other places where you are digitally active and visible. This could also be part, or it could be your e-portfolio. It depends, you know, it just depends on your preferences, the tools that you like working with. So it could be. Could be something simple like a blog, or could be something more complex like an e-portfolio system, especially designed to document things and evaluate them. So it's very different depending on the person and on the context.
Maybe we can talk about the risks which might be covered behind this later. But before we do this, we make a step back in the history of e-portfolios, we will hear now from Jörg Hafer something about the developments of e-portfolios over the last couple of years.
Okay, so I think the e-portfolio is inspired from three sources. We have the Web 2.0, the personal knowledge management, and personal learning environments. The idea of portfolio is as such very old. It's known from artists and from artworks that you have a portfolio due to showcase your work, your competencies, and so on. So the idea was very easy, or it was an easy thing to talk about, how can a portfolio can transfer in electronic environments. And as Ilona said, it's still a very open concept, and it started in Europe with the initiative of the European Commission. I think it starts at 2000, called the e-portfolio for all initiative, and this had a great impact in the countries like the Netherlands and Austria, United Kingdom, Ireland, and a little bit less in Germany. We are still, we are not have so much done in this part. And now the e-portfolio, first it was recognized as a tool, and it was a little bit like Birgitta mentioned, it was like the development curve of new tools. So people start to experiment with that, start to looking for useful scenarios to use the e-portfolios. And now the last year, so it's from the very well recognition in the beginning, now it started, it comes a little bit down, and people said, okay, what we have really on e-portfolios, and what are the really useful scenarios?
Thank you. We heard that there is a project called the e-Portfolio Initiative, and we now will have Birgitta Kinscher, to talk about this project a little bit.
Thank you. Yeah, the ePortfolio initiative started in Berlin in 2008, and it's called ePortfolio Initiative Berlin. So it's really a regional initiative, an informal network. It was built out of a regional conference on digital learning media. And so some of us thought this is a good idea and we want to learn more about it, and we want to get in contact with other institutions that are also interested in the ePortfolio work. And at the moment we have about around 40 members, so informal members. We don't sign any contracts or anything. It's only we meet each other because we want to work with each other and because we want to learn from each other. And we are several universities, like our University of Applied Sciences, like Beuth University, and also the Technical University of Berlin, the Charité, the Medical University. They are also members, and we also have institutions of further education, like the Women Computer Center. For example, they started working with ePortfolios in their courses this year, and we also have secondary schools, and we have companies, mostly small and medium enterprises, who are working more in the technical field of ePortfolio technologies. And we have our meetings once a month, and we deal with different subjects. Next time we meet in a school. Last time we met at Beuth School, and so we present our work in ePortfolio, and we want to to bring it to public. So therefore, it's very nice that we can have our initiative in your radio, and the next step will be really to get a funding for ePortfolio activities, and I'm looking forward to a new program coming out in Germany at the beginning of 2011, and it deals with transition between the educational stages, and I think this will be a great opportunity to test ePortfolio scenario in this context.
Who is the contact person for people who are interested to join your network? Whom can they contact, or is there any website?
Okay, so we have our ePortfolio blog. You have the address of our blog?
www.eportfolio-berlin.de.
Okay.
Okay, for people who are still not convinced why they should use ePortfolios, why should I use ePortfolios?
I think you should try using ePortfolios. I'm not saying everyone should use it, but try use ePortfolios just to, on the personal level. I'm not saying in the institution because this is a different context, but if you want to try it on your personal level, just to see how you have developed over time and to document certain things, because we live in a fast-paced world, and so many things are happening every day, and we are actually learning in between, learning informally, not only at schools, at universities, but also informally. And if you document this is also a document of your learning, and if you have really take time, maybe 15, 20 minutes a day, to write a blog post or to reflect on something that you learned in this informal learning context, it's a good way to actually be aware of your own learning, and to have something, have a document of this, so that you can look back when you maybe in a year or two and see where you were before and where you are now. So I think it's exciting. It's like maybe writing a diary.
Couldn't this be a real hard burden to see? How stupid I once was, and I didn't develop very much, indeed, over the last 2 years or whatever. So I'm always reflecting on my own learning. is there any place for fun or recreation or whatever? So you know what I mean?
Yes, fun and recreation. I think it isn't the main target of an e-portfolio. we are really in this business of reflecting learning. I think this is the right way to think about e-portfolios. So the strong point is that you can transfer or you can bring together formal and informal acts of learning. And you can it doesn't make any difference if you learn in a formal environment or not. You can demonstrate it or show it in your e-portfolio. That's one of the really strong points in the context of lifelong learning as well. So, and I think many students don't realize what they're learning while they are learning, but the e-portfolio can be a tool to change this behavior. And the second idea of e-portfolio is that this is really an individual-centered approach to e-learning. This is not coming a system like a learning management system where you are going in, but you are the owner of your portfolio. And I think that's one of the core ideas from Web 2.0. And this is reflecting on e-learning technology with a portfolio concept.
But I also think that, so we all come from formal contexts. We come from universities, and so we are always looking at the formal side of learning. But also all the things you are doing in your leisure time, and what is fun, and what is what you like to do, you can also have your. So you have competencies, you gain competencies in what you're doing in your leisure time and what you like to do. And I think often it's more than you do in school or in university, because you have to do it. And it's so if it's not fun, it's often it's hard to do it, and you are not so good in what you do when you don't want to do it. And so in this sense, e-portfolios also are a possibility to show yourself, like in photographs, in videos, or things you are doing, or paintings, drawings, everything you can do, that you add it to your portfolio, and that you can show yourself as in all aspects, and also with fun and pleasure.
Do you see any risks behind this? So you say you have informal learning, and this informal learning is getting formalized in some way through this e-portfolio. Is there any point where e-portfolios are compared, so that you can see, this e-portfolio must be from a boy or from a girl? Or this portfolio could be from a kid who's from a very rich family, or the other portfolio is from a very kid with a critical background in any way. Is there a point in the system where this can occur?
I think if you said you talked about aspects like boy or girl, being rich or poor, coming what's your background and so on. I think the e-portfolio, what's positive and exciting about this is what Jörg also said, the philosophy of Web 2.0, it's the ability to be individual, you know, and to show you the way you want to show yourself, and have the possibility of individual expression of, you know, of all aspects of yourself, like Birgitta said. So if there are some things that you maybe want to reveal, you can do it, or if you want to hide them, you can do this as well. So it really depends on you, how you want to portray yourself, and it has much to do with the topic that is discussed at this conference a lot as well, the digital identity. How do you construct your digital identity? Because this is exactly where the digital identity and e-portfolio come together. So, you know, maybe I see the risk, especially with younger users, because it's, you know, if you're a grown up, your basic identity is at a different level, right? When you maybe for little kids to develop e-portfolios, I think this should be really accompanied by teachers or by mentors advising them, you know, how to present yourself, what you should show on the web, what you shouldn't show on the web. So, you know, someone taking care of this, so there should be difference depending on the age of the person. So I see maybe a risk there, because we have a lot of examples like with young people, you know, putting different things that they are after some years are ashamed of, you know, and when they were doing this was cool because they were in some sort of social environment where it was cool and nice to do, and after they changed, they grew up, things change, and those documents are still there. So it's, you know, it's good to have someone to accompany you when you are younger, just to help you develop a strategy for your digital identity. How much of yourself can you reveal, and how much, and what you shouldn't show, or yeah.
Klaus just joined us, and he has a question, I think.
So if I was a teacher, and let's say my school just decided to use e-portfolios, then I would immediately start to sigh and say, oh my God, how could I do this? And yet again, I am again forced to implement some stupid concept which I have no plan of. And could you give some recommendations to me to relief from my bad expectations I might have?
I can try it. This is actually what we discussed at our presentation yesterday about fostering readiness for e-portfolio, because e-portfolio is really it's a new concept, so it's really like introducing change, right? And it happens very often that you have the top-down approach to this. You have a school principal or a project manager coming somewhere and telling you, now let's introduce e-portfolios, and people don't know what it is. They are not ready for this. They don't know how to use it. They don't see the value added of this. So this is what we discussed yesterday, that it's very important to start from the bottom, to talk to people before, you know, to create awareness of what an e-portfolio is, why is it good, so that people have time to reflect on this, develop their own ideas, develop understanding. You know, it doesn't happen from day one to day two, but it maybe takes weeks, maybe months. So I think it's important, you know, to start, maybe if you want to do something like this, start really at the basis. Exchange with people, create work, organize workshops where people can exchange, invite some people that already have experience so that they can share the knowledge. And
initiative to join the e-portfolio initiative will be a good idea.
Yes. Or establish your own initiative at the local level. And when you have this ground, so to say, the ground is ready for the e-portfolio, then you may try thinking about introducing and implementing a strategy and so on. But before you don't have this understanding, I think it's very hard, because then people just develop resistance. And like you said, they think, again, something new. Why should I deal with this? It's an extra work that I have to do, and I don't know anything about it, and now I should implement it. And I'm just scared. I don't have time, and so on. So maybe we should start not from the top, but from the bottom.
Okay, this answers a lot of it, and this gives real relief to my hesitancy towards this as a teacher, but I'm not a teacher now.
One of the final questions, I guess, could be about standardized evaluation mechanisms. Are there any evaluation mechanisms already that can deal with this? Many folds, formats, and outputs.
I, I think, oh, I don't know any standardized evaluation, but what we did in this conference also, we made a lot of contacts with other institutions starting working with e-portfolios, because I think most of us are in that stage that we are starting. So this is especially true for Germany. And so I would like very much to have a project with other universities or other educational partners, and so that we can compare our expectations and that we can try to find these criteria for evaluation. So maybe we can give the answer next year.
And I think so, one of the core ideas is to start more with reflection than evaluation. So the vision is to have a common reflection, process of reflection of teachers and students, reflect on their own learning and teaching. And this would be, I think, the best case to have. And so after that, I don't need, you need a fine system of evaluation then.
That sounds very good, and we are looking forward to next year. Maybe there are some outputs on this issue. So thank you very, very, very much. It was very interesting, and maybe we can meet next year and see what happened in the meantime.
Yeah, I can invite you next year to Berlin, to Technical University of Applied Sciences, because we just started to plan a workshop with Finland and with Taiwan and with German partners, and so I would like to see you in Berlin.
Thank you very much.